Today in Canberra, Ken Wyatt was sworn in as Minister for Indigenous Affairs. He's the first Indigenous Australian to hold that role and to sit in Cabinet. His historic appointment comes as Indigenous leaders push the new Morrison government to establish a voice to Parliament enshrined in the Constitution. Some senior coalition figures suggest that's unlikely to go ahead. But earlier this afternoon, I spoke to Cape York leader Noel Pearson, and he says he's optimistic.
You take their policy, it's all there. It commits to the work of the Joint Select Committee chaired by Julian Lisa and Senator Dodson. That Joint Select Committee basically advanced the work of the Uluru Statement, and I see that the government committed in their policy for a design process, $7 million set aside for that process in the coming period, and commitment in the forward estimates to the running of a referendum down the track if a model is agreed. So I think there's cause for hope and optimism here.
It's interesting you say that, because I know lots of prominent Indigenous leaders and people who were working towards this were disappointed when Labor didn't win the election, because they said Labor was more committed to this. Bill Shorten had promised that he would deliver a referendum. But you've taken a different approach. Why this different approach?
Well, I don't want to be partisan about this, but the reality is that whether Labor had succeeded in government last weekend, or whether this result that's taken place with the Conservatives winning, the challenge is still the same. You know, Mount Everest is Mount Everest, whichever political party won office the other weekend. I think the good thing is that when you look at the Liberals' policy that was released late in the campaign, it's all there. There's cause for hope and optimism in what they said in their platform. I would urge Australians of goodwill to understand that we have a real opportunity here. We should hasten slowly. We should do the work. Now is not the time for a relentless campaign. Now is the time for work. Work on the design, work on the model, work on the details. I would say to Australians of goodwill, listen and learn and take place in the discussion on the detail over the coming period. And when we have a model, let's debate that model. And if we can get agreement around that model, let's then come together and then campaign. I don't think that it is going to be at all useful for us to embark on a relentless campaign at a time when we need to do the work on the detail. It's very clear from what members of the government have said that they require the detail to be explained, to be articulated. So what I would say to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities and their leaders across the country, we now need to do this work. We need to work with the Parliament, with the government, and with all the political parties in articulating the full design. We're not going to be able to go ahead to a referendum without articulating the full design of the voice so that Australians really understand what is being proposed here.
We know now that we have the first Indigenous Australian as Indigenous Affairs Minister, a seat at the Cabinet table that hasn't happened before. Does that change this discussion around Uluru? Do you think that could be a game changer?
Oh, I think it's magnificent that one of our people finally is a Minister for Aboriginal Affairs. I think it does two things. One, it raises expectations of Ken, but I think he's capable of delivering. Maybe some of our expectations are going to be found to be, very ambitious and perhaps unrealistic. But Ken is a man who has a long history in our issues. He knows our community. He knows the challenges. And the great thing about Ken is that he more than anyone, I don't think there's anyone in his unique position in that he has gained the confidence of the people of Hasluck. Now, the people of Hasluck, his electorate in Perth, are the very Australians we need to come on board eventually with a referendum. And the fact that Ken Wyatt has won three elections with the support of his electorate, white fellas, black fellas, all kinds of fellas in his electorate that have supported him, and that have Ken's confidence, that are confident in Ken's leadership, you could not have a better person, I think, who understands not just black fellas, he understands the white fellas, and he understands the so-called quiet Australians that supported him in the election. So, you know, it is just a fantastic thing that this moment in history has thrown up an Aboriginal politician who has managed to appeal to the very Australian mainstream that we need to get on board for recognition in the Constitution.
Julian Lisa, who co-chaired the last bipartisan inquiry into the issue, says without a detailed model to present to voters, it would fail. You seem to have pivoted on this, correct me if I'm wrong, and you're saying you get that and you're going to develop that model. There is a shift here, am I right?
Absolutely. I think that's a reality staring us in the face. Julian is right. We need to do this. I think the politics has shifted. The Conservatives won the election. It's not possible to present a kind of general description of the idea for the Australian people to consider. We're going to have to articulate the full detail, and I believe we can. There's kind of three agendas that need to come together under Ken's leadership and under this government, I hope. Firstly, the agenda of empowerment of our people, social and economic empowerment. That is the crucial agenda here, and the voice to Parliament is part of that agenda, to empower our people to take charge of our future destiny. And that's social and economic empowerment. The second piece of it is closing the gap. You know, we can't just have targets that we get all depressed about every 12 months when the figures show that we haven't managed to do much. We've got to close the gap by building capabilities in our families, in our individuals, and in our communities. And we need a real action plan on closing the gap. And of course, the third agenda is recognition. I would put them in that order. I think Ken's first task is to tackle the issue of empowerment, tackle the issue of closing the gap, and let's work over the 12 months, 24 months forthcoming towards a referendum on the voice. And I think we'll be able to articulate, we'll be able to show that the voice is actually connected to those two other things. If we have a voice in better policy, that will help the process of empowerment, and ultimately it will contribute to the closing of the gap in the next two, three generations. I think there's got to be a complete line of sight between recognition and closing the gap. And I'm confident that as a community we can show how those three things are related. And we can show that the structural reforms that we seek actually will play out in practical, tangible ways to make life better for Aboriginal people and Aboriginal children on the ground, better health, better education, so that they can take their rightful place in the country.
What you just said there was that you accepted that you had to develop with the community a model now. So what does it mean for the time frame of a potential referendum? It must shift the time frame when we've really essentially changed the order of how to do this.
I think we should endeavour to do this work. We've got 3 years ahead of us. Let's hasten slowly and deliberately, but let's not leave it too long. We have an opportunity. We've been waiting on this question for many, many years. I don't think we should be we should waste time on this, but we should do it very deliberately. We should have a proper process. And I think that those people in the Australian community who already support the concept of the voice and the Uluru Statement from the heart, and who hold out hope for that Uluru Statement, I think it behoves us to not just jump into a blind campaign, a raucous campaign about it, but rather let's listen, let's learn, and let's discuss and develop. Let's do the work on the design, on the details. We will need to produce those details if we're going to convince the Parliament of this project.
You referred to the Quiet Australians, and it's language, of course, that the Prime Minister has used in terms of the election outcome. What kind of views do you think these Quiet Australians have on this proposal, and do you think they still need some convincing?
Oh, I think there's a... You know, I doubt there's many Australians who don't want a better future for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Let's take that as a starting point. If you ask the question, who wants a better life for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in the future, I think everybody would agree with that. Everybody wants that. Australians are very anxious about that. And the issue is, we need to convince them that these structural changes, indeed a change to the Constitution, is an essential part of achieving the future we want. And getting the relationship right between the first Australians and the new Australians, you know, the Australians of 60,000 years and the Australians of the past 250 years, getting that relationship right is crucial, in my view. We know, I think, deep down that we've got to get the relationship right, and we've got to include Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in this idea of Australia. And it has very practical ramifications for closing the gap and a better future for our people. But I understand and I accept that we've got to be convincing. We have to be convincing in relation to this. We've got to show that the proposal in its detail will actually contribute to the kind of optimistic future that we say these reforms can yield.
Noel Pearson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Patricia.